Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone. My name is Dave Dillman. I serve on the Board of Trustees here at High Point, member of the preaching team, and I'm excited to get to share the word with you this morning. I have another poll for you. Raise your hands if you've heard of this magazine. Got a few hands up. Good. That means you've been to the dentist or the doctor. That makes me feel good. This was in many waiting rooms across dentists and doctors' offices. Kept us kids from being bored. If you don't know it, it's Highlights for Children, and it had all kinds of jokes, riddles, puzzles, short stories to both entertain and educate us. And for those that did read it, you might remember these two boys. Goofus and Gallant. Maybe the most popular thing in Highlights, at least it was my favorite. I always turned to that page to see what they were doing. Goofus was always getting into trouble because he'd ignore rules and only think of himself, while Gallant always followed what he was told and to make sure of think of the other person first. So I have a couple of examples here. Goofus tracks mud through the house. Gallant leaves his muddy shoes by the door. Goofus stays outside during a thunderstorm. Gallant says, "There's lightning. We better go inside." Goofus runs with scissors pointing up, while Gallant walks with the scissors pointing down. Goofus threw caution to the wind and just whatever felt his fancy. He always felt he was in the right, while Gallant always looked for the safe and thoughtful thing to do. Today we're going to start a new series, and we call it Don't Be That Guy. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the fool character in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to help apply the wisdom to avoid being that guy. A guy who despises wisdom, spreads slander, consistently avoids work, and doesn't value spending time with Jesus. And after we point out what makes that guy so foolish, we'll learn what it means to live wisely. We'll learn how to be a Gallant, not a Goofus. So as I mentioned, we're in the book of Proverbs. And a lot of the verses compare the characteristics of a foolish person to those of a wise believer. You'll find a variation of the word fool or foolish around 90 times in the book. And variations of wise or wisdom you can find about 110 times. So it's an important focus of Proverbs. We're going to look at several of these over the course of the series, and today we're going to see how the foolish person despises wisdom while the wise believer is willing to listen and seek the truth. So first we want to look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Let's read it. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." I was going to say, if you came here without your own Bible, feel free to take one on the back table and follow along. If you do not have your own Bible, we'd love for you to take it home as our gift. We believe everyone should have access to the Word of God. So a fool thinks he knows what's right in his own eyes, but the wise man, the wise person, listens to advice. See, we all like to think we're in the right. That's where we want to be. But it's easy to become so sure of yourself that you close yourself off to any advice or suggestions and try to do things your way, which often leads to bad results. In 1999, two psychologists named David Dunning and Justin Kruger conducted a study, and they tested participants on a lot of different things like humor, grammar, logic, different skills. And what they found was everyone who took the tests and who scored in the bottom 25%, they were asked to predict where they think they would finish, and almost all of them that finished in the lower 25th percentage predicted that they'd finish in about the 60th percentage. While the top 25 performers often underestimated their scores. This is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. See, those that performed poorly were overconfident that they had the knowledge and the skills to perform well, but in fact they didn't, and they didn't even know it. While those who maybe doubted their abilities actually performed better, had the knowledge and didn't even know it. And this perfectly captures Proverbs. This perfectly captures that guy. He overestimates his own abilities and competence to the point that he won't reach out for help or advice. Or if he does ask for advice and he's given it, he doesn't take it. Because in his mind, I did it my way. My way is better. Think about it like this. You ever tried to put something together that required assembly, like a dresser, but you look at the direction, you go, I know how to build this. I've built things for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. I don't need these directions. I can't read them anyway. They don't make sense. So I'm just going to put them away. So you build it, but then you end up with 8 screws left over, and the drawer doesn't even come out unless you bump it. But then when you bump it, the entire dresser wobbles, and you fear for everyone's safety. Or maybe you've driven somewhere. You've never been there before, but instead of following the GPS or asking for directions, you just go with your knowledge. I know where we are. I know where we're going. But you get lost, and 45 minutes later, you're still lost. You were trying to go to Arizona, but you end up in Montana. If we want to be wise in walking with Christ, then we have to look at his strength and ask for his help instead of blindly thinking that our way is going to work all the time and that we have all the answers. GPS and the directions are there to help us. They're there to try to give us the best route. Now, not perfect, but they try to keep us safe. And sometimes we don't use it at all, or I don't like the road that's taking me, and I'll go on this road, and you end up lost. So we've already said that the foolish person doesn't want to hear advice and goes their own way. Now let's read Proverbs 18:2 to see how even more stubborn a foolish person can be, like the mule and the horse in our psalm we read earlier. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Now I have to be honest with you. This was a difficult lesson for me to prepare, because both Proverbs speak to where I'm at personally, particularly when it comes to listening to advice and understanding and trusting the process. This was difficult. So know that as I'm saying these things to you, I'm right in there with you, and that I need to hear these things as well. In my preparation, I came across this quote. Now, I wasn't able to find who said it. It's attributed to Anonymous. But it really spoke to me, and I think perfectly goes along with this psalm about the fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Discussions are always better than arguments, because an argument is to find out who is right, and a discussion is to find out what is right. See, that guy is looking to have an argument in order to win. But the wise believer is looking to have a discussion in order to learn. See, as Christians, the most important thing to us should be the truth of Jesus, not whether or not we're right. See, our aim should always be to seek the truth and be willing to consider others' experience and knowledge. Because that's one of the great things about being part of this church. We have so many people that have been in the trenches that have experience and knowledge to share. And it's sad when we don't take the time to talk to them and take advantage of that. You see, God, one of the ways that He helps us and provides us wisdom is through other people to pour into our lives and to be there for us when we've kind of been a knucklehead and gotten it wrong. See, pride is a huge problem. We should be willing to consider others' experience and knowledge. We need to use discernment, of course. I'm not saying take every piece of advice that's ever given to you, because there is such thing as bad advice. But at the same time, don't close yourself off to everyone else. Pride is definitely a huge problem. We get so focused on being heard that we aren't willing to hear what others are saying. It's no wonder that we have fights and divisions in our churches. And it's no wonder things are the way they are in the world today. All because we refuse to listen to each other. All because we refuse to communicate. If we want to walk in God's wisdom and not be that guy, then we should do like James says in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." See, we've got it backwards. With today's social media, it's all about quick reactions and snap judgments. We don't take the time to read what the other person's saying or try to understand what their point is. We automatically assume where they're going, and that's where all the nastiness comes from. If we would just listen and take the time to understand each other, a lot of the problems we have, the Lord would cover them. They would just be solved. See, Paul ran into this in Acts 17. See, he and Silas went to Thessalonica, and they met a group of Jews that Paul wanted to have discussion with, share the gospel with, and share Jesus with. But instead, what he found were jealous Jews that didn't want to hear anything Paul had to say. As a matter of fact, they started a riot so as to silence Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas had to have some friends lead them out of Thessalonica and into Berea. But what he found in Berea was quite the opposite. This is verse 11. "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul says was true. They searched the scriptures daily and received the word with eagerness." Let that be us. Let's not be closed off to what God is trying to tell us. It's easy to say, "Well, I've read the Bible all my life. I know the stories. I know what it says. In fact, I can quote scriptures. I've memorized scriptures." But like these Jewish leaders, they searched daily because they're constantly being fed new information. And where do they go? What's their source of truth? The Word of God. May that be true of us. Because the fool doesn't want to listen. But if we're wise, if we don't want to be that guy, then we listen to what God has to say through His Word. Excuse me. Another example we see of this is in Genesis. This is in chapter 19, and I'm going to be covering verse 12 through 26. See, we have the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which God is about to destroy. Because these cities, they were full of all kinds of wickedness. Abuse to strangers, inhospitality to the poor, greed, sexual immorality, unrepentant hearts. And so these cities were just going to get completely leveled because of the outcries and because of how just the wickedness had just run rampant. But Abraham interceded for his family and asked God, please spare the righteous, please spare my family. And because of God's covenant with Abraham, his nephew Lot and Lot's family were going to be delivered, were allowed to leave so that they would not get caught in the destruction. So God sends two angelic beings to warn Lot and his family that they need to get out of the city before they're destroyed. So Lot receives this warning from the angels and then goes to his son-in-law to tell them about what's coming. Let's read at verse 14. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were going to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. They thought he was joking. He's telling them that we're going to die if we stay here. But they just thought, oh, Lot, you're just pulling our leg. They rejected the warning, and rather than listen to Lot, they think they knew best, so they dismissed it as a joke. And spoiler alert, they don't make it out. In the same way, as Christians, we have to be wise when Jesus warns us about the coming danger and judgment. We can't think we know best. If we claim to follow Jesus, let's follow Jesus. Now, Lot's not off the hook either. I'll leave you to read and study the rest of Genesis 19, because it's pretty crazy what else happens in that chapter. Lot doesn't exactly have the best reputation himself, so to be fair to his sons-in-law, but so we see the next morning. The angels tell him and his daughters, get out. The Lord is about to destroy the city. Get out so that you won't be swept away. But Lot does the exact opposite. Let's read in verses 16 and 17. But he lingered, is his response. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And as they brought them out, one of them said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. Lot lingered. And they're having to literally be guided by the hand and taken outside. And the passage says that this is because of God's mercy, which is a lesson for us. Sometimes we're so stubborn that we think we have more time than we do, or that, hey, the direction our lives is going is fine, everything's good. So we don't respond with that urgency. Proverbs would call that foolishness, and it usually results in God having to lead us by the hand to remind us that we're headed for trouble. If we're serious about our relationship with Jesus and we want to walk in his wisdom, then we need to realize we don't know it all. We have limitations and we need him to guide us. He's trying to save us after all. He wants to lead us away from the danger that threatens our souls and our spirits. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could be led away from the death of our sin. And it gets better. Oh, it gets better. One of the angels tells Lot, don't look back or stop anywhere until you get to the hills. But see, Lot isn't interested in all that. Lot has a different idea. Because again, thinking he knows best, says, look, you guys have been so great to me and I appreciate it. I thank you for letting us escape, but I can't go to the hills. I'll die if I go to the hills. See, do you know what kind of a climb that is? I'll be safer if I go to this little nearby city. Nothing's going on there. Let me go there. I mean, here's Lot just being obstinate. Instead of trusting the plan that's set forth before him. Lot's like, okay, I'll meet you part of the way, but what if instead of going this way, we go this way? How often have we tried to do that with God? He has a plan for us and say, God, I'm with you. I believe in you. I want to follow you, except for maybe right there. Can we do it a different way? And yet, despite all this obstinance from Lot, God is still merciful. The angels say, okay, we'll let you go to this small city, which, by the way, is called Zoar, which means small or little. So God proceeds to destroy God proceeds to destroy Sodom, which, as it says in Genesis 19, with burning sulfur and fire. And Lot makes it to Zoar, but something else happens. Let's pick it up in verse 25. It says, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. What did the angels tell Lot and his family? Don't look back. But that's what she did. She looked back because, well, she didn't listen to God's wisdom. She was longing for her current life. She was longing for everything she had. She wanted to hold on to everything that she had. Very tragic. But it becomes so important that when Jesus is talking to his disciples about his return and the coming judgment, which you can find in Luke 17, he calls back to this. Verses 32 and 33 say, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. See, Lot's wife didn't listen to the warning. She was too attached to her current life. She wasn't willing to let go of her old life, and ultimately it cost her her life. To follow Jesus is to listen to him, letting go of the things of the world that we had been holding on to and start holding on to him. We're told by Jesus in Matthew 11, 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is a call to pay close attention to the words that Jesus is speaking. In simple terms, that guy closes his mind and doesn't listen, while the wise believer listens with a teachable mind and an open heart. To put it another way, the fool opens his mouth and closes his mind, while the wise man closes his mouth and opens his mind. So what now? How are we to be wise instead of being that guy, the fool? To be that guy is to believe you're always right, to refuse to learn from or listen to anyone, to reject any advice or correction thinking you know it all, and to care only about your opinion at the expense of anyone else. Let's instead be wise followers of Jesus who know our limitations, who are open to learning and understanding, who receives any advice and correction, and always looks for the truth of Christ at the expense of our own pride and opinions. See, no matter the situation, don't assume you know it all. Run to the one who does. If you need prayer, or if you need to talk to someone, we have shepherds in the connection point, and they will receive you, whatever your need is. Wherever you are, if you're already a Christian and you're walking with him today, or you haven't yet started a relationship with him, if you haven't made that decision to put him on as Lord, know that Jesus went to the cross for your sins. He died so that we could be reconciled with the Father and start a new life that we wouldn't have to perish in our sins. He loves you. And he extends an invitation for you to come home. My prayer today is that in response, that we know true wisdom is in the one who gave his life for you. And that your response would declare, as the hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.